Well, anyway, it's lovely to be here. It's been a long time. I think about 18 months since I was here before, and something like that. And since then, a lot of water's gone under the bridge, as they say, and we've had floods and drought in Texas, and we've had a presidential election that's driving everybody crazy in the process. We've our children have grown up bigger and our grandkids are bigger. They're all at school now, all our grandkids, which is hard to believe. Our littlest one started last month at a big school, as he calls it. He went the first day and then he came home and he said, do I have to go to school tomorrow, Mummy? Because he thought, well, that was it, I've done that, you know, I've done school. Do something else tomorrow. But she said, no, you're going to have to go to school for the next 12 years. And anyway, there's been a few crises along the way with that, but that's another story. But what I want to share with you is really just one trip that I took this summer, because what I've been doing in terms of missions work is doing a lot more with our local church. You know, when we went out from here some more or less 20-some years ago, it was to work with Mercy Ships, and for nearly 10 years, Rosie and I were working in the offices of Mercy Ships, sometimes going out to the ships to actually do things with them, with teams and so forth. And then I was working with an organization called Hope Now, which you've probably heard of, which is based in Southampton, but I was representing them in America. So I spent a lot of time going back and forth to Ukraine, which is where most of their work is. And then for about the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, my real focus has been working with the local church. And what I've been trying to do there is help them to be able to take teams on mission trips overseas. So it's been like short-term missions. And then we've had special missionary days and things like that during the year, which I've been organizing along with a little committee that we've got. Everything in America is done by committees. So there's four of us on the missions committee. And we do different things to try and keep the people of the church interested in missions. And once or twice a year, we take them on a mission trip. And sometimes we actually get now. It's grown. I've really been impressed because it started off, we took one group of people on a mission trip. And that happened to be to Nicaragua, which is where we went back to this summer. But since then, it's grown. And we have different people saying, I want to go in such and such a month. And so we're able to find them a group that's going out that's not necessarily from our church. So more and more people have been getting involved in missions, not just dependent on what we can arrange or I can arrange. But this summer in June, we went to Nicaragua, and it was the most different trip in a way that we've done before, because normally when we go on a trip, we know what we're going to do. Well, we knew what we were going to do on this trip, but we weren't in control of it altogether. Usually, you know, if we go with a medical team, we take medicines. The local missionary or church leaders organize a clinic at some different places, and we go and we kind of know what we're doing. Or if we're going to do a construction project, we know we're going to go. Like last time I was here, I was talking about a construction project in Moldova. We were converting an old barn into a youth building for the church out there. This year we went with the idea that we were going to work with the local people. This is what they'd asked for. They said a lot of teams come out and do things for us, but we want you to do something that involves our local people with children. It was a children's outreach. We were, I don't know what you call it here. Over there they call it Vacation Bible School. I think they call it Summer Club or something like that here. You'll see what it was like in a minute. So, and it was also different because it was the biggest group we've ever had. Normally we have about 10 or 12 people. We had 22 people on this trip. So that was a handful. And not only that, nearly all of them had never been on a mission trip before. So they're all a bit, you know, wide-eyed, getting out there thinking, well, what have we let ourselves in for? But I think everybody had a good time. At least half of them got sick because they didn't listen to our instructions about washing their hands before they ate the food and don't drink the water and all those things. So about half of them got sick, and so there was not a single day that we actually had everybody out doing what we were doing, but everyone enjoyed it anyway. So let's start some pictures going, Kevin. Yeah. So anyway, so we all set off from Dallas. We managed to get all on the same airplane, which was that was a challenge, you know. Sometimes when you've got 22 people, you can't get everybody on the same flight. There was times when we had smaller groups and we had to come back on two different flights because there weren't enough seats. But we had a really good travel agent, Christian travel agent, and this was interesting because somebody just said, try these people. And it turned out to be an Indian man from India, not a West, you know, not a red Indian. But they were persecuted in India, this couple, because they became Christians. And so they decided that they were going to leave India and come to England. So they came to England, and he did some kind of training here. And then from England, they went over to America, and they saw all these churches organizing different trips and mission trips and things. And so they said, we're going to be a travel agency for churches doing mission trips, and that's their focus. Mm-hmm. And they were the best travel agent I've ever used. They phoned us up to find out how we were going. After we came back, they phoned us up again to ask how did it go and, you know, things like that. And at some point, I got to hear the man's testimony of how he got saved in India. He was actually abandoned by his mother in India, and somebody, you know, a nurse or somebody picked him up and looked after him, and it was because he went into that family, which happened to be a Christian family, that he eventually became saved. So that whole thing was an interesting start. So we got out to Nicaragua, and I'm going to stand here because I can see a bit better. I'll point this at the computer. Anyway, okay. So we got out there, and we talked to the missionary couple that's there, who is a Nicaraguan man and a American lady, man and wife. And they said, well, you know, we haven't got many tables, because we were going to do, with our vacation Bible school, we needed tables to do crafts and things on. And they said, we've only got two tables, you know, because we're going to some places where they're starting new churches. And so these two guys that came with us, they're both called Richard, they said, we'll build you some tables. So neither of these have been on a mission trip before. One of them had been in the army, so he'd been overseas. But, you know, when you're in the army, you get everything. When you're here, you have to find everything. So the guy said, well, we can build some tables. But then they went to the market and they said, well, we want some 4x2 wood and we want some plywood, you know, whatever standard size they were quoting in America. Well, it's not quite like that. They went to the market and they had to pick out their pieces of wood piece by piece. And it wasn't the measurements they expected and it wasn't the kind of wood they expected. And then they had to find some screws and they had to buy the screws one by one, you know. You want 10 screws, 12 screws, how many screws do you want? Well, they wanted a lot of screws, but they didn't just buy them in a packet. So it was quite a challenge for them. But they built these tables, and I was very impressed. They did great. In one day, they went to the market, they bought the wood, they came back, and they built these tables. And actually, they built more than that, but that was the end of their first day's work. So we had enough tables to get started. So that was great. The rest of us were sort of hanging out and going over our lessons and things. We'd had a lot of time preparing before we went. But when we got there, you know, it's not what you expect. So here we are. Here we are in a little church building. Now, like I said, the churches that they took us to were churches that had only just been started, so they weren't nice buildings. They weren't even as nice as this. If you look carefully, you can see the floor is a nice brown dirt. The walls are just breeze blocks that haven't been plastered. And the windows don't exist because they hadn't got the windows in yet. But there's some of the kids, and there's one of our ladies at the back. And this is some of the crafts. The way we did it, we divided all the children into four groups. They had coloured wristbands, red, yellow, blue, and green, and they were in these teams for the whole time they were there. And the whole thing lasted 2 days in each place we went to. So we had one group of kids doing the lesson, another group of kids doing the crafts, And that's some of what they're doing, some colouring and making things. These kids were making crosses, and all of it was designed to go around the story, the kind of theme for the whole week. And there they're doing some songs. And this was a challenge for our people, because our people speak English and these people speak Spanish. So we had to learn all these songs in Spanish before we went out there. And this lady did really well, leading the singing. And they did a memory verse. And this is, we had a Mexican lady who lives in Texas who came with us. And she went as a translator, but she ended up teaching the memory verse, because it was easier for her to teach it than to translate it. So I'm going to read the memory verse, see if you all recognize it. This was the memory verse for the first day. Porque de tal manera amó Dios al mundo, que ha dado a su hijo unigénito, para que todo aquel que en cree no se pierda, mas tenga vida eterna. Got it. Good. Isn't it amazing how you can recognize? God so loved the world, yes. I guess that tenga vida eternal kind of gives it away at the end. And the rhythm of it somehow. Okay, so the first day, that was the memory verse. And everything we did was revolved around the memory verse and around the story. And here's back to the crafts. And I'm doing it like this because all of these things were going on at the same time. We had all these different groups, some inside the building, some outside the building. These were doing footprints, and they were using their foot with paint to make the trunk of a tree, and then they were putting their fingers in different paint to make the leaves of a tree, and then they had to write things around it. And it was to show them that each one was individual. Everybody's tree looked different because everybody is different. And the story that went with this was the story of creation. So this was our first theme. It was creation. God made everything. And sometimes we don't realize, and I'm glad it came up today, you know, with the funnel, how important it is that we recognize God is our creator, because that makes everything make sense. If we don't accept that God is our creator, then everything, you know, you have that big question mark. Why am I here? What are we here for? All that stuff. And there were games going on. So at the same time as we're doing these crafts and things, they were doing games. They're playing a water pistol game there. They had actually the pumps that you use for pumping up balloons, and they were using it to squirt water to push something along a wire. So some of the games. And that man at the back there, that young man, he's one of the local people. Like I said, we wanted to do things that were simple, didn't involve anything complicated in terms of materials, and something that the local people, the local church youth, especially mostly the teenagers, could get involved with so they could learn how to do it. And that's one of the young people there. He was looking after that game. Another game, bouncing. Bouncing on a big parachute thing, yeah. And running underneath it. You just make the game up as you go along. It's really fun. And they all enjoyed it. And importantly, they used a lot of energy, because you want them to sit down and listen when it's time to sit down and listen. Sack race. All you need is a couple of sacks. And so they were doing sack racing. And at the same time, we were having teachings going on in the church there, in the church building. Then, by the end of that day, we were tired. And this is where we were staying. I've only got one picture of this. Where the missionary lives, he's got like little cabins around the side and behind the pool there. And so each cabin could sleep up to four people, and so we were all sleeping in these cabins. And the pool was there for those that wanted to have a good splash. And the building behind there that's all lit up is where we had our meals. This was a little sightseeing we did. I think it was like in the evening after we'd got back. That people in the front are all our group. The girl at the back just wanted to be in the picture. She was a local girl from the local school. Just decided she'd join in. And that's the view. Horse riding available for those that want it. And looking across the countryside. So Nicaragua is really a beautiful country. And it's got mountains, it's got volcanoes, it's got lakes. and it's got a lot of need as well. That's another one of our guys, and he's eating a mango, a real mango, you know. He picked it up off the ground, can you believe? Over in America, they were a dollar each. I don't know how much you pay for a mango here, probably a pound. And and he's picking them up off the street as big as that. He almost got a whole meal out of one mango. Back in the classroom and back doing crafts. Here they're doing a jigsaw puzzle. I don't know if you can see it very well, but we had the Bible verse. Again, like I said, we kept going back to the Bible verse and finding different ways to help them remember it. And there they had a jigsaw puzzle. And they were trying to put it all together in the right order, all the different words. And now this was another table which we had, which was to share the gospel message. And they had the gospel bracelets, you know, the different coloured, black and red and white and gold and green, I think, is the colours that basically you can use to tell the story of salvation, how we have sin in our lives and Jesus died for us. That's the red one. He makes our hearts white as snow, as it says in the Old Testament. And he's prepared a place for us in heaven, which is the gold. So the first story, like I said, was all about creation, and it led on to sin and how we are all sinners. The first people sinned, but everyone sinned since then. And then the second story we had was a bit hard to see. They're outside playing all the different games and crafts all going on together there. This is like in the yard that's behind the church. The second story we had was the story of the Israelites coming out of Egypt. And we did one in the afternoon and one in the evening. The kids had school in the morning, by the way. Although it's summertime, they don't have a summer holiday like we do. They only have about 2 weeks off for the summer. So the children were actually in school in the mornings because they only have half-day school. They don't have enough teachers to have a whole-day school. So they were in school from 8 o'clock until 12 o'clock. And then they go home and hopefully get something to eat. And then they came to us about 2 o'clock. And so we did this session with them. And then after the first story and the whole going around all these different activities and games, we gave them something to eat, which was about 4 o'clock by now. And then we had our second session, which was in the early evening from about 4:30 till about 6:30. And the second session was the story of Moses leading the children out of Israel, the children of Israel out of Egypt, get it the right way around. And the point of this is that when we get in trouble, again, we sang a song about it today, when we get in trouble, God hears us. And the theme was that, you know, we're all sinners, we're all in trouble. And we have lots of troubles in our life, just like the Israelites did in Egypt. But God hears and God intervenes on our behalf if we ask him to. In the evening, we had like a group time trying to make sure we knew what we were doing. And this is us, some of our group, anyway, sitting around in the house where the missionaries live. Learning some songs again, practicing our Spanish, and just making sure we knew what we were going to do the next day, kind of having a debriefing time. This is in the church service. On the Sunday, of course, we went to the local church, and you can't see what it says there, but it's the sign is advertising their children's clubs. They have the way they've organized their churches is very much around small groups. And they have a very, very active children's work. So that's just the notice in the front of the church advertising it. They have an overhead projector, sort of just like we do here. And this is our children's club. And if you can see the picture there, they don't have projectors and all the technology for the kids' work. They've got a book. And the children that are holding the book on the front of it there, sort of on the left-hand page as you look at it, is just big words. So that's the words for the song. And so they have two kids up there just turning the pages so the kids can see the words for the songs and they were singing. And there you get a better idea how many kids were there. I think we had about 30 children. Now, this is one Sunday school class. of several, but it, probably one of the biggest ones. It's in somebody's house, but the houses there are built open because it's always warm there. It's never really hot, but it's never really cold. So they have very much open plan type of building. And this was in the actual church service that went to on the same day. They have Sunday school in the morning and they have church service in the evening. People over there like to do things in the evening. They're not very good at getting up in the morning. The kids are up, as here, but the adults prefer to have their special times in the evening. So it's a Sunday, I say evening, but it was about 5 o'clock when the service started. Went on for a couple of hours. Quite a big crowd there. And it was actually Father's Day. And they celebrated Father's Day by getting a bunch of ladies up the front. And each one of them had found a Bible verse about men. A good man is this or that, or a wise man does this or that. And so they had to read their Bible verse and say something about their father or their husband. Something good about their father or their husband. So this was the way they honoured the men in the service. And there's a lot of ladies there. It took quite a long time. But it was very interesting to hear them do that. Now we went to another village. After the Sunday, we had two more days in a different village. And this is one of our Richards. He's made a new friend there. Can you see? Kind of blends in. Yeah, it's a, and that bird followed him everywhere he went. It followed him around. Very tame. This was in a little village where we actually had to sleep in hammocks and on camp beds. We didn't stay in the nice cabins like we had the first time. We had one outhouse for everybody. If you wanted to take a shower, you had to walk to the middle of the village where there was a well, and there was a corrugated iron enclosure, and you got a bucket of water from the well, and you went into this enclosure. You hung your towel over this side so people knew somebody was in there, and you took a bucket shower. So that was very interesting. A few people didn't wash that day, but most people had to. It was so sticky, you know. Here we are outside doing some more crafts and games. And there's the kids. They have a bus service for the kids to bring them to Sunday school. And I think that truck there made 3 trips, and I don't know how many kids he's got there, but he had a lot. Again, we had a little recreation time while we were in this place, and we went climbing the mountain. And just to prove that I was there, on top of the mountain. And actually 2 days later, we went to the other extreme. Like I said, Nicaragua has got mountains and it's got volcanoes, and this was actually an active volcano. And if you see in the bottom, there was this constant bubbling sound like an ocean waves, but it was actually molten rock, and the red is the molten rock, and the steam coming off is really poisonous. You don't want to breathe it for too long. And just to cool off, went down by a local river, and some people went swimming. Another thing that we did, just as a kind of a sideline, this church building, this is the one where we kind of camped. They needed a name over the front, and so this girl said she would paint a cross and the name of the church on the wall. She's just about to get started there. Like I said, we fed them a meal halfway through the day, each day, and it's amazing how well disciplined the children were. We actually, the first place, I'm glad we started, we only had about 20 or 30 kids the first day, but each day we got more and more. This was on the last day, we had 120 kids, and so it was overwhelming in some ways, and yet they were so well behaved that it wasn't so bad. And here you see they made a big circle, and they served the food. It was very simple, just some bread and soup and something else, and drinks. And they walked around the circle, picked up what they wanted one by one, and then went and sat down and ate it. It worked. This is the bigger group on the last day. we couldn't have the classroom indoors because there were too many children. So we set up the church benches on the outside there on the hillside and did everything outdoors. And here in the front there you see, I think, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think it's about 10 children. And those 10 children had all given their lives to the Lord the day before. So that's just some of the fruit. And remember when I said about the bracelets, about how they explained the gospel using the bracelets at one of the tables? They made the bracelets. They had the gospel explained to them. And it was at that table that the children were given a chance to say whether they wanted to become a Christian. And so they really, we think, they really understood what they were doing. And these 10 said they wanted to. And that's the crowd right near the end. And the last day we did something, again, completely different. It was a beautification project. This was the new church building where we had the service on the Sunday. And they got us to get out and plant some little bushes and build some footpaths. You'll see how we built the footpaths. It was volcanic dust. Spread it out on the ground. Thumped it down with a... Actually, it was a big lump of wood tied up with a rag. And then swept it smooth. And it was finished. And we're back to building tables. This church didn't have any tables. They wanted some little tables for the little ones. The tables we built were kind of normal size. But they said they needed some tables for their children. So these two guys set to again and started building more tables for the little kids. And this young lady who's painting, she actually has been to Nicaragua more than any of us. And she has just graduated college now, and she really feels God wants her to live there as a missionary. And so she goes back and forth to Nicaragua, and she's trained to be a special needs children's teacher because they don't have any of those in Nicaragua. So she's going to be teaching other teachers how to work with special needs kids. And that's the church after we'd finished painting it and planting our little shrubs along the front. You can just about see. And this says Nuestra Vision, our vision. And it's not really in focus there, is it? But it says, our vision is to establish groups establish groups of cells for the service, evangelism, and discipling of our communities. To be a church that prepares other people and to establish other groups in other places. So they're basically, like I said, everything they do is based around small groups. And that's how they've grown. This church, the one they were just finished painting, has been in existence for 3 years. And the final slide here, this is a picture of one of the houses where the small group meeting was going to meet. We went to one of these houses. Well, actually, we divided our group up and went to different places. And that says, welcome to the church. Bienvenidos. Iglesia Bautista Centro de Vida. So the Center of Life Baptist Church. And this was what I wanted to show you. So from 2014 to 2016, they started in 2014 with one kids club and one action center. They call their house groups action centers because they want it to be a place where things happen. So and the action center, the neat thing about their house groups is that they use the house groups as a training place, and they're training their young people. They're like 18, 19, 20-year-olds to be leaders in the church. And so the house groups are generally led by a person of that sort of age. And then there's somebody else who's there who's a kind of a mentor, and the two of them will sit down together beforehand and organize what they're going to do. But the young person leads it, not the older person. And that way the young person gets confident and he gets trained and he learns stuff. And those of us that have done some teaching of any kind, you know that when you have to teach something, you have to learn it. And so it's a good way to make yourself learn things. So in 2014, they had one kids club, one action center. 2015, the kids club had multiplied to three kids clubs and three action centres, three home groups. And they started a youth program, and they were renting a building for the church, and they had about 50 people meeting, it says. And then in 2016, this year, the kids clubs had doubled again to seven kids clubs, five action centres, continuing the youth program, and they bought the land and built the church to the park, to the extent that you saw there in the picture. So it's really encouraging to go out there. See, God's working. The people are committed to him. And the young people are the key to it. The kids' clubs and the youth. The whole church is being built like that from the youth up. And maybe that'll encourage you with all the kids you have here. That's the way to go. Thank you, David.